Before we get to that, we have one announcement, and that's our underwriting announcement for this hour. This portion of WEFT's broadcast is brought to you by the Urbana Park District and the Crystal Lake Park Family Aquatic Center, located on North Broadway Avenue in Urbana. Their pool is open daily. For more information, please visit urbanaparks.org. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Ashley Withers, employment specialist for Community Choices. But first, disability news for the week of July 22, 2019. Disability advocates and former federal special education officials are warning of possible Trump administration moves to alter policy related to a central tenet of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Advocates met with top officials at the U.S. Department of Education last week after receiving what they called, quote, credible information indicating that the agency planned to change or reinterpret policy on IDEA's requirement that students with disabilities be served in the least restrictive environment, or LRE. IDEA states that students with disabilities should be taught alongside children without disabilities to the maximum extent appropriate. Advocates said they are worried that the Trump administration is looking to change the law's presumption that all children with disabilities will be educated in the general education classroom, except in the rare circumstance that the student cannot get a satisfactory education in that environment, even with supplementary aids and services. At the meeting, the advocates said they were told by Department of Education Chief of Staff Nate Bailey that, quote, there would be no such reinterpretation of LRE in the immediate future, end quote, and he committed to upholding the law. But Bailey, along with the agency's acting general counsel, Reed Rubenstein, and Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services Assistant Secretary Johnny Collette, indicated that nothing was off the table as part of the department's rethink framework, referring to a broad department agenda announced last fall to reconsider everything about how the agency administers special education. According to government special education officials who served under Presidents Bill Clinton, George Bush, Ronald Reagan, and Barack Obama, quote, we are shocked that the department even considered pursuing this course, end quote. Education Department spokeswoman Liz Hill said, quote, there are absolutely no pending department plans regarding LRE, end quote. Hill said the advocates had heard a rumor, adding LRE is absolutely not up for discussion. The department's reassurance, however, did little to calm advocates who indicated that they would vehemently oppose any reinterpretation of LRE, which they said would have major repercussions for students with disabilities. The coalition of advocacy groups and government officials said, quote, we will work together to vigorously protect current law and fight any interpretation of LRE that alters or weakens IDEA's clear requirement that schools and districts must consider general education first for every child. We must protect IDEA's presumption of general education because without it, we can expect to see increases in the inappropriate placement of children with disabilities in more segregated settings, which contradicts the clear language, intent, and established legal precedent of the IDEA, end quote. Illinois lawmakers expressed outrage after a downstate branch of Goodwill Industries announced plans to stop paying many of the nonprofit employees with disabilities, citing expected rising payroll costs due to the pending state minimum wage increase. Yet after much backlash on social media, Land of Lincoln Goodwill Industries in Springfield this week reversed its decision, with the chief executive officer issuing an apology to our, quote, our constituents, our clients, and our faithful donors, end quote, said Land of Lincoln Goodwill President and CEO Sharon Durbin in a written statement, quote, our recent decision regarding the vocational rehab program and the resulting harm it might have caused falls short of living up to our mission, and we apologize for this error in judgment. We are reversing the decision to realign our voc rehab program, and those participants affected will return to their part-time skills training program with pay, end quote. A Land of Lincoln Goodwill spokesman confirmed a letter was sent in mid-June to a dozen workers with disabilities in a job skills program, letting them know they would no longer receive a paycheck for their work because of budgeting constraints attributed to a recently approved Illinois minimum wage increase. The charity now says all of those workers will receive their paychecks. The story, first reported by local news station WCIA, also drew the ire of U.S. presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Sanders tweeted on Tuesday, quote, no worker should be told they're lucky to get less than minimum wage. People with disabilities deserve jobs that pay a living wage. It's time to end the sub-minimum wage and guarantee truly integrated employment opportunities for people with disabilities, end quote. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed legislation in February to increase the state's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2025. The last time Illinois raised its minimum wage was in 2010 to $8.25 an hour. And finally, for the first time, federal lawmakers have approved legislation that would end a practice allowing employers to pay people with disabilities less than minimum wage. The U.S. House of Representatives voted 231 to 199 on Thursday to pass the Raise the Wage Act, a bill chiefly designed to increase the federal minimum wage to $15 per hour by 2025. Tucked inside the legislation, however, is a provision that would phase out sub-minimum wage for workers with disabilities. Employers are currently able to obtain so-called 14C certificates from the Department of Labor, allowing them to pay workers with disabilities less than minimum wage under a federal law dating back to the 1930s. The measure approved this week would require the Labor Department to stop issuing new 14C certificates, and it would increase the minimum wage for workers employed under existing certificates gradually over the course of 6 years. At that point, any remaining 14C certificates would be invalid, and employees with disabilities would need to be paid at least the prevailing federal minimum wage. The House action marks the first time that either the House or Senate has voted to end sub-minimum wage at said. Prospects for the Raise the Wage Act remain uncertain in the GOP-controlled Senate, with Republicans calling the legislation a job-killing bill. Nonetheless, advocates who favor doing away with sub-minimum wage said they hope the vote this week will help propel another bill proposed in Congress that also seeks to phase out 14C certificates, said Allison Barkoff, director of advocacy at the Center for Public Representation, quote, we hope that the passage of the Raise the Wage Act by the House will give some momentum to the Transformation to Competitive Employment Act, which not only would phase out sub-minimum wages, but equally as important, would provide funding to help states and providers increase capacity for competitive integrated employment, end quote. And that's the news for this week.
I need money. 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 Check it out. I need money.
Great idea.
there where we can get some dough.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and this is Disability Beat. I'm joined today by Ashley Withers, who is the head employment specialist at Community Choices, has been doing the work of finding jobs in the community for people with disabilities for a little while now. So welcome to the program, Ashley.
Thank you so much, Vicki, for having me. It's exciting to be here.
So we're here to talk specifically about a program that you've been working on for the last few years. But before we do that, why don't you just kind of introduce yourself to the listeners and let them know how you got into this line of work?
Yeah, so I have been working with Community Choices for a little over 5 years now. My background is actually in hospitality management. That's what I went to college for. So I kind of happened across the disability.
I can see that. In
really?
Me, yeah.
Well, that's good. So I kind of just happened to fall into this line of work. I had a friend that was working for the former company that I worked for out of college. And she kind of was just like, hey, I know you're looking for a job and I think you'd be really good at it. So it kind of involved both HR and Rogue Rehab. So we were hiring people to do work on like federal and state contracts. So through that, I kind of continued to kind of meet people and met my former boss that worked for Community Choices, and they were looking for an employment specialist. And like they say, the rest is history. So here I am 5 years later.
So you've done a lot of great work with Community Choices, I know. My own daughter has benefited from that work. But we're here specifically to talk about a program that's been in existence for how long? LEAP has
been? We are going into our fifth year of funding.
Oh, okay, so fairly shortly after you started, yeah. LEAP started as Absolutely. Well. So let's talk a little bit about what that program is.
Yeah, so LEAP stands for Leaders in Employing All People. And it is a partnership that we have with DSC, or Developmental Services Center, as a lot of people know them as. It's county funded. So we have a Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board here within our county. And so they have funded this project where we go around. Our main job is that we go around and educate businesses on kind of how to be more disability inclusive in their hiring process and kind of give them some tools to feel a little bit more confident with that going forward so that they can hopefully hire more people that are looking for jobs.
And so about in 5 years, how many businesses have gone through this training and what exactly does it entail?
Yeah, so we have certified, what we call it, certification. So when a business goes through the training, we consider them to be LEAP certified. So we've certified about 75 businesses to date.
Wow.
So that's really exciting. Obviously, we have a lot more to go here in Champaign County. We do cover the whole county. And so the training consists, it's an hour-long training, and because we're grant-funded, the training doesn't cost a business anything to complete. So we talk a little about like the history of employment for people with disabilities. We talk about accommodations and kind of what their role is as an employer in providing accommodations. We talk about person-centered language and kind of just, you know, how the language regarding people with disabilities has evolved over the years. Talk about expectations and how like it's okay to have expectations of all of your employees, including those with disabilities as well. Talk about the benefits of hiring people with disabilities and how really the disability community is kind of an untapped market when it comes to hiring, as well as kind of just like a group of people to market to in order to utilize your business. And then, of course, things like diversity and just kind of some of the challenges that people with disabilities face when they're seeking employment.
Absolutely. So I know that you were doing, that Community Choices had been doing the work of customized employment for years before that. How does customized employment interface with the LEAP program?
So customized employment is really kind of taking a step back and looking at every job seeker as an individual and kind of what they're interested in doing for work. So I think all of us want to do a job that we enjoy, that we're passionate about, and people with disabilities are no different. So we kind of look at that their skills. We go through a process called discovery, where we spend a lot of one-on-one time with that person. So we're getting to know their skills and their interests and what type of work environment they're going to be most successful in. And maybe some of the challenges they might face, and then ways to build in supports so that those challenges don't seem as difficult as maybe they think that they are. So we really want to look at that, those things in order to place people in jobs that they're going to be successful at and that they're going to enjoy as well, rather than just saying, okay, here's this job. This is what you get to do. Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Sink or swim.
Yes. Yeah. So we want to make sure that everybody is motivated to go to their job, because not everybody necessarily is motivated by just earning a paycheck. So we want to find something that they enjoy that's going to kind of make them excited to get up and go to work every day.
Right. So when you go through, when employers go through the LEAP training, then are you looking for potential employees for them and using the customized employment model to find the right fit for them? Or is it really two separate entities?
It can be two separate entities. I think because I'm an employment specialist, I think I always have in the back of my mind, like, who do I have that I'm working with that might be really good here? We do tell businesses that there's no obligation to hire somebody just because they've gone through the training. Of course, that's our hope, that they become what we call gold certified. So we have about 35 employers to date that have taken the leap, for lack of a better term.
35 out of 75 is a pretty good number.
So obviously it's our hope that they kind of feel a little bit more confident after mm-hmm. the training and knowing that, yes, this could work for my business and that I could hire somebody. So yeah, about 35. So yeah, like I said, as an employment specialist, I think I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, like, who do I have that could work here, and what types of jobs could they do here that, you know, they might not be thinking of as an employer. We really get employers to try to think outside the box when it comes to employment, and not just, you know, not everybody can kind of fit into like a set job description, and that's okay. And so, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, we try to think of that, but like I said, it's not a requirement for completing the training that they hire somebody.
Okay. And so how do, you've got 75 businesses who have gone through this training. Did they get in contact with you? Did you contact them? Or is it referrals? How did that work exactly?
It's a little bit of everything. So some businesses are businesses that we already had relationships with through people already having jobs there. And we realized that, like, they're already doing really great work, and this training can kind of just be a supplement to their knowledge that they already have. We certainly go around and kind of go to job fairs and things like that and try to recruit businesses to go through the training. And then some of it's just referral as well. So we certainly have gotten calls to just, you know, hey, I heard this was a thing. Can we set something up? So we can really get referrals and businesses kind of from all angles.
I would think that there would be some referrals made by, you know, parents of young adults with disabilities who, you know, work at a business or own their own business. Mm-hmm. Is there any of that happening?
There's some. There's not as much as maybe I think that we were hoping for kind of going into it. So we certainly always take suggestions. So if you as a parent or a member of this community think like, hey, you know, I know this business is already has somebody that's working there, they would be really good to approach. Or, you know, sometimes the training's needed for businesses that don't always have a great reputation of working with people with disabilities, and mm-hmm. Kind of increasing that knowledge that maybe they need to be successful in that. So, yeah, we always take suggestions from the community as well, kind of people that they might think would be a good fit for the training.
Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting process. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. What are the challenges that you have to deal with in this project? Because it seems to me that a lot of folks that you're going to be working with are not real, you know, boots on the ground when it comes to the disability world.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I like to assume that not everybody is, you know, purposefully discriminating against the disability community. Sometimes I think it's just they don't have a lot of experience with working with people with disabilities. And so it's kind of just that lack of knowledge and those kind of unconscious biases that we have towards mm-hmm. different, you know, groups of people and things like that. So we try to go in with that attitude of just, you know, like, they probably just don't have a lot of experience with mm-hmm. this. And so, you know, we can't, you know, hopefully the people that are going through the training obviously are open to kind of being educated about that. But we certainly have gotten, you know, some individuals in the trainings that kind of say things where we're like, oh, like, you said that in front of your employer regarding the disability community. That's not great. So we talk a lot about, you know, person-centered language and kind of like how to talk about people with disabilities. And one question that we ask is, you know, what do you call a person with a disability, or how do you refer to them? And for the most part, I think people are like, oh, they're a person, or I would call them by their name. And every once in a while we get someone who's like, well, they're really challenged, or they're difficult. And those things happen. And so we hope that we can kind of challenge some of those, that way of thinking, through the training as well. So that's certainly challenging, of kind of just changing the mindset of people that don't have a lot of experience in that community. And then some of the challenges are really just getting employers to think outside the box when it comes to employment. So one thing that we can do is called job carving. And so job carving is where we kind of look at all the tasks that are available in a business. And, you know, there's always things that, you know, kind of just fall to the bottom of the totem pole on your list of priorities that just aren't getting done, but are still a really important part of your business functioning day to day. So job carving is where you can kind of take, group those different tasks together and kind of create a new position that's really going to maximize the skills and abilities of a job seeker with a disability.
Can you give an example of how that might work from some of the experience that you've had?
So one really exciting partnership that's kind of come from LEAP is through our Champaign County Recorder's Office. So Mark Sheldon, who is our Champaign County Recorder, approached us with a special project in mind. So if you've never been into the county recorder's office, there is a giant room with these large old books that have records of all of the mortgages and deeds that have been issued in Champaign County. And they date back to like the early 1800s or something.
Oh my gosh.
Very crazy. So one thing he wanted to do was to digitize all of those files, and so that they could be easily accessible to members of the community that need that information. So obviously that's a really big project. He has a small office, so it really wasn't in the capacity of his current staff to take time to index all of those. And so what they did was actually hired two job seekers with disabilities to basically go through and index all of those. So they go through and make notes of how many pages they are and what date that mortgage was entered into their system. And then eventually all of those files will be scanned so that they can be easily accessible online. So it was kind of a really great special project that business really kind of, you know, thought up on their own, which is really exciting. So kind of it's our hope that things like that start to come out of this project and really kind of create really interesting, different opportunities for people that are kind of outside of the box of what you might think of jobs for people with disabilities.
Right. Very interesting. So in the news today, there were two stories related to subminimum wage and the increasing minimum wage. What's the feedback that you're getting from people on how this might affect locally individuals who are working in competitively paid employment?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. I think that, you know, it's certainly a concern for members of the disability community that are looking for jobs. We haven't got a lot of feedback as far as from businesses and kind of how they're planning to adjust to that. You know, our hope is that all of our businesses that we currently work with really see the value in hiring people with disabilities, and that, you know, once they give those people opportunities, that they can really get in and show that they are very valuable members of the team, just like anybody else. But yeah, it is a concern kind of going forward to figure out, like, you know, how is a business going to create a position for somebody that might need something carved out for them. So hopefully those opportunities don't, you know, go away because of the minimum wage increase.
Well, the challenge that I see, one of the several challenges that I see, is that this is coming at a time when sheltered workshops should be and will be closing. Mm-hmm. Meaning that people who have been in the subminimum wage jobs or even in day programs and not paid at all are going to be needing to fill their day with some kind of work.
Absolutely.
And so that's a concern. And there's the Employment First legislation that really prioritizes employment in the community for people with disabilities. And yet the requirement for a new increased minimum wage is going to probably, as it was with Goodwill, challenge those employers to keep people on the payroll.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're definitely big concerns that I hopefully we can tackle kind of as they come towards us. So I don't think we have, you know, a plan in place right now of how to address that. I think that we tend to kind of take on issues like that on a case-by-case basis and really try to work with our employers to figure out, like, you know, we always want to make sure that hiring people is a win-win for both the employer and the employee. So we do kind of hope that a lot of our businesses really do see the value in hiring people with disabilities and see that they're definitely a very important part of their team, just like anybody else. So it's kind of our goal and hope going forward, I guess.
And we'll figure out the rest. We're all going to learn as we go through. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's finish on the positive. Let's give us some examples of some real successes that you've had in the community. Obviously, you can't give names of people or maybe even businesses, but examples of a business that employed somebody to do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about our Champaign County Recorder already. So that was, I think, really exciting opportunity that we created for two individuals that were looking for jobs. Urbana Park District has been a really great partner with us since we've started. They've actually gone through the training twice.
Wow.
And so some of the staff went through the training twice, and then they had new staff that attended as well. So we have placed two individuals that have worked with us before. So one person is an aquatics customer service representative. So they work both at the indoor and the outdoor pool. And that individual was really exciting because, you know, a lot of those aquatics positions are seasonal. And so we were kind of thinking like, he might not be able to continue after the summer. And they, you know, were willing to make a position for him to last year round. So that was really exciting.
Oh, that is awesome.
And then he was actually also voted most improved by his peers for that first season that he worked for Urbana Park District, which is really exciting. So a lot of his peers are, you know, high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really exciting to have them really recognize him as a very valuable part of their team. So that was one of those situations that just was best case scenario for sure. We do have another gentleman that works with in their operations department is an aquatics maintenance person. So he helps kind of take care of the pools. So he's both at the indoor and outdoor and helps test the chemicals and all of those things that are kind of really important for the pool to be clean and sanitary for the public to use. We recently actually just had somebody hired an accounts payable at Champaign Surplus. And I think now they're Champaign Outdoors.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're a different name now.
Yeah, so they're Champaign Outdoors. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was really exciting. She's somebody who's wanted to work in an office for a long time, and just finding something that was the right fit was a little bit of a process. So we were really excited to find a business that was really excited to have her on and kind of be able to train her and kind of doing something that's right up her alley. So and the last one is First Federal. So if you're not a customer of First Federal, apparently they make cookies for their customers every day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
I know DSC had a young lady that was hired just to bake their cookies every day. So if you kind of think of a bank, you think of like, you know, people acting as tellers and financial persons. So it was really exciting to have somebody that's baking cookies at a bank. So that was kind of an exciting placement that that worked out really well as well.
What are the hopes for the coming year?
So for our fifth year, one big project that we have, so a lot of feedback that we got from businesses was that they really loved the training, but they really wanted to be able to send more of their staff through the training. But, you know, pulling people off the sales floor or off of their jobs for an hour is kind of a challenge, obviously.
Especially if you're doing it all at once.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've had a lot of requests to do like a shorter training.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a staff training or a frontline staff training that we've developed that we're hoping to launch this year. So our kind of next steps are to do kind of just like present it to some of our employers that we've worked with for a few years now and kind of get their feedback and, you know, make sure it's something that they feel is going to be valuable to their staff. And then hopefully roll that out to anybody that's interested. We started a newsletter last year that goes out quarterly to all of our businesses that have completed the training. So there's success stories in there or just helpful articles. We've kind of detailed information about accommodations and social security and kind of things that are important for businesses to know mm-hmm. That they probably don't get a lot of education from their higher-ups or their employers.
So if there are business owners listening right now or people who have businesses in mind that mm-hmm. might be open to this, who should they contact?
So they can contact me. So Ashley Withers at Community Choices. So my email is ashleycchoices@gmail.com. My phone number is 217-417-6997.
Great.
So you can contact either way.
Great. Is there anything we left out or are we?
I don't think so. Think that, one other thing that we do for the project is have family informational meetings as well. So mm-hmm. hopefully we'll have a couple of those. We've done stuff on, helping families